Greetings to the brightest audience in the country. I am Bob Inyart, the pastor of Denver Bible Church. I'd like to complete the description of my blog responses to this agnostic Prometheus, actually Santi Ferella. But first, he asked me, Bob, what do you doubt? Why do you believe in God? And so we talked about that on Friday, and I gave him a list of things that I do not doubt, to lead up to the things that I do doubt. But first, a couple updates. Let's see, on the Barack Obama birth certificate. This is hysterical. This is his official page? It's what, his? This is the president's MySpace page. It says he logged in last time. Look at this. Last time he logged in was today. And it says he's how old? This cracks me up. Hawaii wasn't even in a state. It says he's 52 years old, which means he would have been born in 1957. That's before Hawaii became a state. That cracks me up. I mean, this whole birth certificate thing, where's the birth certificate? And now Clear Channel and Lamar Outdoors and all these major billboard companies have said they will not accept any where's the birth certificate billboards. That is just too much. And Peter Boyles, to his credit, on a Clear Channel station in Denver, Colorado, KHOW, in the mornings, Peter Boyles today said his own network, Clear Channel, will not accept where's the birth certificate billboards. That's just horrendous. Barack Obama could show some humility. He could show some humility and say, you know, it gets to me, my ego, my pride, when people doubt my word. But, okay, there's 400,000 Americans have signed a petition. They want to see my birth certificate. Here's my long-form birth certificate. It shows the doctor, the hospital. Here it is. My son Nathaniel has to show that to get a passport to go to Baja, Mexico. My son. A kid who's a little bit too tall has to show his birth certificate to get into Little League. And Barack Obama doesn't have the humility to show his birth certificate, which is an eligibility requirement that he's a natural born citizen. So if he really is 52, that's just hysterical. How could the president's MySpace page have the wrong age of the president? That is just so funny. I get upset if we have a typo in the Denver Bible Church bulletin. And the president of the United States, his MySpace page, they don't know how old he is. And then there's also this out of Europe. UFO sightings. Now here at Bob Inyart Live, we dismiss UFO sightings. I know there are some Christian leaders who say UFO sightings are demonic. And at Bob Inyart Live, we say they're not demonic. And they're not extraterrestrials. So that leaves you with fewer options, I know. Oh, and by the way, WorldNet Daily has reported this. The age of the president is 52 years old. All day today. All day in Barack Obama's MySpace page still says he's 52 years old. And if that were true, and if he were born in Hawaii, then he's not a natural born citizen. So this is just all too interesting. Plus, his mother was American, right? And his father was Kenyan. And his book is titled The Dreams of My Father, not The Dreams of My Mother, my American parent, but the dreams of my Kenyan heritage. All right. And on Fox 31 Friday morning, It was off topic, but Good Day Colorado with Shaul Turner and a comedian, Cheryl Underwood, who has some filthy special on Showtime. And, you know, a dozen other credits to her name. The term credit being used loosely. Her eyes looked like they were going to bulge out of her head when I said it was off topic, but I just wanted to get it into the show somehow. The Fox affiliate in Colorado, Channel 31, Fox News, all local Colorado affiliate. And I said, well, you know the African proverb, it takes a village to raise a child? I said, and that proverb, by the way, that comes from Barack Obama's hometown. And then I went on to make a point that we were discussing on topic. But it looked like her eyes were bulging out of her head, and they never had the chance to get back to that and address that. I just thought it was funny, just to put that in passing. But you know that proverb, that African proverb that Hillary Clinton used for the title of her book, It Takes a Village. How does that go? It takes a village to raise an idiot? No, it takes a village to satisfy my husband? I forget how it takes a, you know, there's a village in Kenya missing its idiot. We have to put out an all points bulletin. There's a village in Kenya missing its idiot. Can you please report to the nearest Kenyan embassy if you know the whereabouts of the missing idiot from the village in Kenya? So could you imagine these? Clear Channel supposedly cares about free speech. They care so much about free speech that they will defend Howard Stern's filth and mocking degradation of women. But words on a billboard, where's the birth certificate? Four words. Four words. Where's the birth certificate? They forget about defending Howard Stern's filth, that it should be broadcast on the public airwaves. They will not allow those four words on one of their billboards. Hypocrites. And you know, their whole company depends on free speech, doesn't it? Clear Channel? Their whole company depends on free speech. And they are censoring. This is a private, this is not government censorship, but they're privately censoring, but they're a public company, right? So it's sort of a public-private censorship of free speech. Where's the birth certificate? It's just too much. And this out of Europe, UFO sightings, whenever a blockbuster alien movie is released, there's a spike in UFO sightings, including one striking case where two boys reported speaking to an alien with a lemon-shaped head and a 40-foot-tall spaceship just a few yards away from them. And, of course, then the authorities went to the site, and all they found was a farmer spraying his crops. But the spike in reported UFO sightings when blockbuster alien feature films are released, and that just cracks me up. And people who say, you know, well-intentioned people who say these are demonic, they're not demonic. They're not demonic. All right. Now, I want to get to, by the way, our phone number here, 1-800-8-NYARDS, 1-800-836-9278, 1-800-836-9278. Such excitement, Colorado Right to Life and Personhood Colorado co-sponsoring the 2010 Personhood Amendment for Colorado. They got to get 76,000 signatures. So that's starting again in the state that led the current resurgent personhood movement. Now, 15, 20 states actively pursuing personhood. It is just so exciting. What started here ends here. Okay. All right. So there is an agnostic named Santi Ferella, and he posted a negative comment about the Ann Coulter Hangups YouTube video, which, by the way, it's nearing 40,000 views. And if you go there and check it out, it'll probably up to 39,800. Just if you go, just on your own, just go YouTube or go to AmericanRightToLife.org, click on Ann Coulter's Hangups YouTube video on the right-hand column, and you'll see that, sure enough, it's about 40,000 views. If you go, it'll probably hit 39,800 views. And that's exciting. That's just great. American Right to Life, hysterical, fabulous, extraordinary video about Ann Coulter and Mitt Romney. And Mitt Romney is the litmus test. Any Christian, pro-life, conservative group or leader who says they support Mitt Romney, you know he's the litmus test. You know that they are a traitor. If a conservative says they support Mitt Romney, you know that they're a traitor to conservative values. If a Republican says he supports Mitt Romney, you know he's a traitor to the Republican platform, Republican principles. If a Christian leader or a pro-life leader says they support Mitt Romney, you know that they are a traitor to Jesus Christ and a traitor to biblical principles, Christian principles, especially marriage and life. Oh, yeah, and we could also throw in socialism, thou shalt not steal, with Romney Care in Massachusetts. So I want to go through this list. Santi Ferella asked me, what do I doubt? But I want to take some calls first. 1-800-836-9278, 1-800-836-9278. In Grand Lake, Colorado, Steve, welcome to Bob and Yurt Live.
Yeah, hello, Bob. Good to meet you.
Thank you, sir.
We've been sitting around thinking, a whole bunch of us, and this last weekend we put out at the motorcycle veterans rally. There were thousands of guys that come to touch the Vietnam Wall, the portable wall. They move around the country.
Yes.
And we passed out flyers telling them to go to our webpage that we want to call for a national strike, and we want to do it on the 4th of July, 2010, start it on that day and have it last as long as it takes. You know, every garbage man, every truck driver, every longshoreman, every roofer.
All right, now, Steve, you got to tell us what it's about.
Why? Because we want to demand term limits on the Congress and Senate. We want to demand term limits on the Supreme Court. Maybe they'll have longer terms. We're still working the details out, but we know we got to do something. We're tired of talking about it. We're tired of hearing people argue about it.
Steve,
Republicans, yes, sir.
Let me ask you this. What fundamental principle of governance or observation of human nature makes you think we'd be better off with term limits?
Well, because then you wouldn't have big business and special interest groups catering to the people that are in this.
Steve, we'll respond back and forth. You said big business would have less influence. So, for one, that's not a principle of governance, but it does have to do with an observation of human nature. But if politicians are not as experienced and independently powerful, then easily lobbyist special interest groups and big money could have greater influence instead of less. Because lobbyists are there for 40 years, and the politician is only there for 2 or 4 or 6 years.
Getting rid of the elitist again. Well, let me address that if you hear me out. I heard you out.
Yeah.
Personally, I think we've got a lot of fine business people, small business entrepreneurs, everything else in this country that would do in the best interest the will of the people, knowing that if they're going back to the public sector in 2 terms, maybe 3 terms if we figure out how to set it up, there's a lot of work needs to be done on it. But
Steve,
obviously the system that's there, Bob, isn't working.
Oh, the system that there is a failure, right. And
exactly.
let me suggest this, Steve. The idea of term limits is born of frustration with the current system. But it's not a fundamental reform. It's like rearranging the deck chairs on the Titanic.
Well, please, sir, give me your solution.
Our system is broken, and we need to recognize that democracy and a Republican form of government are inherently broken, inherently corrupt. We need to not make the world safe for democracy. We need to not praise democracy, as, for example, all our Republican presidents do repeatedly. We need to recognize that that Jesus was right. That
yes, he was.
That the people, Jesus said the majority are headed to hell.
Right.
And efforts like you just described are founded in a fundamental humanist belief that the majority is basically good.
No, I would. Here's my.
Well,
here's
the,
my
if the majority you're is basically forward. Good, and every two, four, six no. years they get to vote on a new leader, then they'll vote on a good person. But Jesus,
I would hope, Bob, that that the Christian people of this nation would start to recognize that again, start to stand up, start to demand the right thing, because everybody sits there and lets the system that's going right now just drag us further into immorality, further into everything.
Steve, take your observations of a broken system and take your energy and passion to do something and advocate for something that is essentially inherently moral and eternally and absolutely true. Term limits are arbitrary and are therefore not the foundational issue that's breaking our country apart.
We've got to start somewhere. Bob.
Oh yeah, but we
get the boxes out of the hen house and then come up with a plan.
No,
let's
the people you get in are usually worse than
leaders.
All right.
Well, not Steve, usually. That's just a guess. Sir.
Steve, I want to go to the next call in 1 minute. But the people you kick out the bad judges, and the newer younger judges you get in are usually worse.
That's an assumption.
No, well,
something has to be done.
Hey, Steve, it's true with the trend.
All get on the same page.
Steve, I think you would agree with this. The trend is over the last 50 years that the judges get worse and worse and worse. Do you agree with that?
Yeah, but a lot of the guys that are still there are the guys that are making it worse and worse.
Well, Reagan, Bush, and George W. Bush put about 60% of the federal judiciary in office. And the federal judiciary is liberal, and it's pro-abortion, pro-homosexual, anti-Christian. Pro-evolution.
We need to change that, sir.
Do you agree with this generally, that the judges have gotten worse over the last 80 years rather than better? Do you agree with that?
Absolutely.
So as a general rule, when you kick the bums out, the bums who come in are generally worse in the judiciary.
In the Congress, in the Senate, it's all been sliding down. So throw our hands up and say,
no,
I don't know, let's keep talking about it.
Steve,
God says to pray, listen to me, God says to pray, you have to say, Lord, there's someone across the street being raped, please help him. No, he says that you're supposed to get up and go address
absolutely,
the
praise the Lord. And if somebody's getting raped across the street, the last thing I want my neighbor to do is advocate for term limits. It's the last
American,
thing in the world.
The American people are being raped, Bob.
I agree. We're almost out of time. Listen.
All right. I love you, brother. Keep
thank you, Steve. All right.
We got to do something.
Thanks, Steve. Let Steve go. And now that he's off the air, if you could listen for one more minute. All right? Take your observation that the country's broken and your passion to do something and do something that is fundamentally moral. Work for something that is fundamentally moral and right. Don't work for something that's arbitrary. So term limits are arbitrary. Should it be 2 years? Should it be 4 years? Should it be 6 years? I'll submit to you that God couldn't care less. On Judgment Day, God is not going to say, cursed are you, depart into everlasting fire because you didn't advocate term limits. But something fundamentally moral, like humbling ourselves before God and recognizing that rights come from God and that we have the right to life, not from the hospital or the delivery doctor, but from our Creator, which comes not when we're born at the hospital, but at the moment we're created. That is a fundamental thing we could pull together and work toward. That can make a fundamental difference and help our nation to turn back toward God. That's a fundamental change that's valuable and worthwhile. Fighting for term limits, trying to get people to attend their public school board of education meetings, those things are useless. Those things are useless. Let's go to Greeley, Colorado. Gil, welcome to Bob and Yurt Live.
Yes.
Hi, Gil.
Bob, I was wondering about that birth certificate. Why didn't the people press him for it before he started campaigning?
Well, the Democrats sure don't care. The Republicans don't have a backbone. And so it was only groups like WorldNet Daily and Alan Keyes. You know, when Barack Obama won, John McCain became his biggest ally in the Senate. John McCain.
Yeah.
And we knew that in advance. So John McCain is sure not going to do anything. When George Bush won, the ignorant Christian Republicans thought that he might investigate Clinton for the treasonous things Clinton did. And I just laughed when I heard them say things like that.
Yeah.
Because the Bushes and the Clintons are good friends. They're good friends. McCain and Obama, they could be best friends. They just trick conservative Christians into thinking that they care about life and they care about marriage. They don't.
I think we the people are sunk because the Republicans and Democrats are both just as bad, and they work with each other to keep each other in office.
Yeah, the Republicans, what we have in America is a two-party system, Socialist Party A and Socialist Party B.
Yeah.
So Alan Keyes, after the election, he continued to fight. He didn't lay down like a lapdog for Barack Obama, John McCain licking his shoes and saying, "What can I do next, President? What can I do next, Mr. President?" So
well, let's keep pressing that.
It's fun, right?
Issue.
Let's keep pressing it, Gil. It's fun.
Okay.
Where's the birth certificate?
Yes.
All right. God bless you, Gil.
Thank you, sir.
Appreciate that. Okay, the memorial wall, it was neat. It was neat, the mention of the Vietnam Wall, when Steve said, yeah, how meaningful and how powerful that is. And if you go to personhood.net, and you'll see an animation of the memorial wall, the Holocaust memorial wall for the unborn. And how long was the Vietnam Wall compared to the wall for the unborn? The wall for the unborn would have 50 million names on it. And if you extend it, it is mile after mile after mile. It's absolutely stunning, and you will see the animation flying by the wall. They do it on a computer, and it's just absolutely stunning. So, all right, let's go to Santi Ferella and his question to me, Bob, what do you doubt? And I said, Santi, I'm happy to respond to you, but to help me think through this, let me tell you the things I never, ever doubt. And that'll help me think through so I could get to what I do doubt. And I said, I never doubt that I exist. Now, by the way, liberals like the curator, Captain Kirk, of the Denver Museum of Nature and Science, they're not sure. A lot of them don't know if they exist. That's because atheism and evolution lead to utter ignorance. So they might not know if they exist. But Santi, you're an agnostic. I never doubt that I exist, and therefore I know that there is a reality. I never doubt that truth exists because, for example, I exist, and there is a reality. So truth exists. I never doubt that the universe exists. And I went through this list, and I ended up saying I never doubt that if Jesus Christ did not rise from the dead, that Christianity is false. That's what the Bible says. But that if he did rise from the dead, as prophesied by the scriptures, then all other religions are false. And as he claimed, Jesus Christ is the only way to eternal life. So I never doubt those things. And by the way, that's a very efficient use of your time. If you're wondering what religion is true and there are so many religions, what you can do is start with Christianity. Because Christianity is the one religion that makes an exclusivity claim. Jesus Christ says, I am the only way. So you could evaluate, look at the evidence for the resurrection. And if it turns out that Jesus Christ rose from the dead, according to the evidence, you've just saved yourself a lot of time. Because all the conflicting religions then you know are wrong, like Islam. They say Jesus didn't rise from the dead, so it's wrong. And Buddhism and Hinduism And Judaism, Christianity comes out of Judaism, is based on Judaism. But most Jews, there are Messianic Jews who recognize Jesus as the Messiah. But most Jews reject Jesus Christ. And they believe Moses, some of them. And Jesus said, if you believed Moses, you would believe me, for Moses spoke of me. But since you reject me, in reality, you reject Moses also. So the televangelists who say to the Jews that they don't need to trust in Jesus Christ and they don't bother to tell the Jews about salvation through Christ, what a disservice. What a great tragedy they're doing. And they often do that because they take tours to Israel, and those tours are fundraisers, and they don't want to feel guilty about not telling the Jews that they work with all year long that they should trust in Jesus Christ. So they change their theology to say Jews don't have to believe in Jesus. So I said, now, Santi Ferrella, what do I doubt? These are the things I never doubt. What do I doubt? Well, there are many particulars regarding the universe, the world, mankind, doctrines of Scripture, particulars, points of history, economics, science, etc., that I'm eager to learn more of, and I'm eager to be corrected where I'm in error. But I do not doubt the fundamentals of my existence, the existence of the universe, the existence of right and wrong, of truth, and that Jesus Christ was raised from the dead, so that those of us who humble ourselves to ask God to forgive us of our sins and trust in Him, that we could be forgiven of our sins, and because He was raised from the dead and overcame sin and death, we could live forever with God in heaven, as apart from living forever without God in hell. And hell is the name of the place where people live who don't want to live with God. The people who reject Jesus Christ, they live forever too, only without Him. As the scriptures say, they judge themselves unworthy of eternal life. And so they have eternal separation from God. So, Santi, there are countless particulars that I doubt and wonder about. And I like to be corrected. And when we're corrected, when I'm corrected, it goes on our homepage at kgov.com. We have an errata link right there on the homepage. Hey, Maranatha Christian Center, what a great school. In September, our telethon starts. Get ready for that.